What's going on, guys? This is your host, The Bottom Line Podcast, Davidson Baker, and I'm just going to give a quick shout-out to my friends over at BetMMA.Tips. If you have any trouble thinking of who might win a close fight in your mind or who you just can't quite give the edge to, the guys over at BetMMA.Tips surely will be able to help you out. The Handicapping Bettors website is the best in the business, and they will do absolutely everything they can to ensure that you will get the leg up on your next picks. Again, that's BetMMA.Tips and at BetMMA.Tips on Twitter. Davidson.
I like this, Davidson. It's the Bottom Line Podcast.
With your host,
Davidson Baker.
And we are live. What's going on, guys? It is episode number 17 of the Bottom Line Podcast. Quick considerations. Thank you to my friends over at BetMMA.Tips. And what is going on? If you listen to this, you know me. I am staff writer at MMAtakeover.com and co-editor at GringoGossip.com, Davidson Baker. And I'm joined today by back-to-back all-star junior high baseball stud, my man Connor Maloney. Mr. Maloney, how we doing today, brother?
Good, Baker. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you coming on. We got a lot to talk about today with the All-Star break right around the corner, centrified around baseball.
That's right. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely, brother. We're just going to kind of start off with some kind of divisional-by-divisional breakdowns. Let's dive right into it. We got to hop in straight away with our favorite division, of course, the American League East, and it's really a two-horse race.
That's a fact. I can't wait to see how it plays out down the stretch. You've got two of the best teams in baseball there.
Yeah, and baseball's just better when the Red Sox and Yankees are good, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I was just talking last night about the days of Veritek and Rodriguez and Pedro Martinez, Don Zimmer. Oof. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, man. What I am surprised, though, about this division so far through this year, A, is that the Tampa Bay Rays are the team in third place, and B, I know that we'll touch on the Orioles a little bit later. Man, they're about 40 games under 500.
Yeah, that's – I mean, when you have players like Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Mark Trumbo, no one predicted them to win the division, but last place, certainly 40 games is quite shocking.
To point out Chris Davis, we all know about the contract. What might be the most unsettling about Chris Davis is that when you type in his name on Google, the search query Chris Davis contract comes before just his name.
Wow, is that right?
I just searched it, and yeah. It
Yeah, I think that just goes to show you the kind of struggles he's had this year from the left side of the plate. Just can't find any rhythm.
What do you think about that deal, dude? $161 million in the midst of the most struggle-laced year of his career.
I think that the Baltimore Orioles are going to regret that contract if they haven't already.
Oof. Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, it's just – they were calling it the worst contract in baseball history.
Wow, those are strong words.
It really is. You know, he looking at this right now, entering whenever. So this article by Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report in back in May says that the $161 million deal, quote, has spiraled into MLB's biggest contract bust in the game's history.
Wow.
What do you think about what do you think about maybe if we could switch gears to the other team in this division? The Blue Jays are, you know, kind of below average as well.
Yeah, they came out the gates all right. They're really struggling on the road. Only 19-25 on the road. 37 run differential of the negative side. I think that Toronto needs more from Curtis Granderson. Justin Smoak has played well. But I think they need some more presence. Randall Grichuk's just a home run hitter. I think they need some more players who can hit for average up above the border.
Yeah. That was a team I expected to possibly be a dark horse in this division. But as we already said, you know, it's a two-horse race. I could really make a compelling case, with no disrespect to the Astros, that the Red Sox and the Yankees are the two best teams in the American League.
Yeah, I think what's equally as impressive is both team has rookie managers, you know. So that's that. We'll see down the stretch when it comes down to playoffs and, you know, some last minute decisions, how those guys will react under pressure, because, you know, the media will have something to say. So we'll
see. Know, and that builds a solid foundation for excitement in the future, as far as, you know, that these guys are going to, like you said, I completely even overlooked that point, that these guys are both in there, not even first years managing these respective ball clubs, but first year as managers, period.
Period.
Yeah, that should be fun for years to come. So with this division being the way it is, I don't feel like there should be any surprise. And for those that listening that may not be aware, I fly the Red Sox flag. He flies the Yanks flag. Who do you got winning the division?
I hate to say it. I think the Red Sox might win the division, unless the Yankees can pick up some starting pitching. Sonny Gray has been below average, to be nice. Domingo Germán filling in has not been someone that we can count on, as we saw last night. Mm-hmm. And Masahiro Tanaka even has only been average. The only guy that's really done his job exceedingly well is Luis Severino, as we know. But I think
absolutely.
I think if the Yankees are going to compete, they're going to have to add a starting pitcher.
Yeah, and that's something I feel like they would easily be able to do. Trade deadline is coming up. The trade deadline is coming up this month. Maybe real quickly before we dive into the, you know, pretty stale conversation that would be the American League Central. Who are some guys that are amongst the biggest names in baseball that you think, other than obviously Manny Machado, that could possibly be on the move?
I think Jacob DeGrom is someone that should be looked at. Starting pitcher from the Mets. Mm-hmm. The New York Mets are not playing for much. They're already 14 and a half games out. And I think that they'll be a team that's looking to rebuild. So I could see Jacob DeGrom going somewhere else.
I could also see Zach Britton being dealt, and Zach Britton is somebody that should be on your man in pinstripes.
Right, yeah, now. Absolutely.
Michael Fulmer, another guy. I mean, there are plenty of guys that are capable guys in the rotation that should be on the block. So that'll be an interesting about week and a half towards the end of the month. And what I will say about Sonny Gray is he has underperformed, but I feel like he has slowly, with maybe the exception of that game against the Sox last week at Yankee Stadium, he has slowly started to pick it up a little bit, and especially walking less guys.
Yeah, his last start, he did a lot better. But we've seen flashes from him this year and even last year when we signed him or traded for him, that he has the talent. He has good movement on his breaking balls. We just need to see more consistency out of him. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, but he got off to a rough start.
No doubt.
So, all right. There, not really a whole lot of pressing issues in the American League Central. The Cleveland Indians, being the world beaters in that division that they are, and, you know, doing what they did last year, what do we is there any chance at all that maybe the Minnesota Twins can catch them over the next few months?
No, I will say there's no chance of that. When you break down the Cleveland Indians, you have arguably the best tandem in the league in all-stars, Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor. Both those guys can flat out hit. And then you add Michael Brantley to the mix, who's batting over 300. They have a very strong 1-2-3 punch at the top of that lineup. They just need to add some bullpen arms. And I think Terry Francona is smart enough to realize that. I think the Cleveland Indians will make moves at the deadline.
Talk about 1-2 punch, too. How about a 1-2 punch to that rotation of Corey Kluber, Dude, why can't I remember their second pitcher's name?
Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer, man. Oh, my God. That was one of the worst brain farts I've ever had. Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer are both always up there as far as Cy Young consideration is concerned. Which, by the way, we will get into our awards for a second. But, dude, that picking the American League Cy Young winner, dude, that took me, like, for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's so tough.
That was not easy. Did you hear that Kluber was backed out of the All-Star game?
I have not read that. No. What were the reasons?
He's getting like a shot in his knee or something, just a precautionary thing. I think it's obviously no big deal. It's just something that's going to hold him out of the All-Star game.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
The All-Star game, man, is like something that it's something that can still be cherished, particularly not on the conversation of baseball, but on the conversation across All-Star games, across all sports.
Yeah.
Because the NBA is more like a glorified scrimmage and nobody watches the Pro Bowl.
Right. I was a fan of the MLB All-Star game for many years because it always meant something, you know? But that's not the case anymore. Still a fun time. Get to see the best players in the world at the sport. So
I don't like the move that they made with taking away World Series home field advantage, but I understand it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't like it either, but I understand that as well.
All right, so with not much to speak on really in that Central Division, it's a very fun American League West.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this division's shaking out to be more interesting than most would have thought. You even have the Oakland Athletics playing good ball.
Dude, hell yeah. I mean, what surprises me so much about the Mariners is, if you're looking at the same table I am, man, they only have a +2 run differential.
I noticed that. Yes, sir.
They're 21 games above .500. That's incredible.
And like you said, we'll get into the awards later, but I think that's a big credit to the manager of the team.
Absolutely. Scott Servais has done a tremendous job. So, I don't think the A's or the Angels are by any means out of it, though.
No.
Maybe the Angels.
Yeah, the Angels are a team that's disappointing me. You know, one game above .500 with Mike Trout, Justin Upson. I mean, Ian Kinsler has been quite disappointing, I'd say, for them. And Albert Pujols is not getting any younger. But the fact that they're only one game above .500, I think they got to be upset out there on the West Coast.
I agree. I think Pujols just hit the DL.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw that.
How many? 10 days? 60?
I believe just 10 days.
Gotcha.
I'm not quite sure. I'd have to agree with you on that. The A's and the Mariners, though, pleasant surprises. If you would have told me the Mariners would be 21 games up of .500 going into the All-Star break, I probably would have disagreed.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's equally as impressive. Robinson Cano, he's been suspended for some time now, and they continue to win. So power to him.
Yeah, and what's the most impressive part about this division to me is that first through fourth place, all of those teams either have, with the Angels being at 24-24, but all the other three all being at least 7 games over .500 on the road or more. These teams are getting it done traveling from time zones that aren't favorable.
Yeah, that is a very impressive statistic from that division.
So maybe give me let's just say right now, it's a given that whoever does not come out of the American League East at the top is going to get that home field wild card game.
Right.
Is that a given?
I agree. Yeah, no doubt.
So if that's a given, even though, you know, the Mariners would only be at this point four back as it stands right now of where the Yankees are at, I don't see that staying that way. The Mariners obviously being a front runner, but maybe give me a team that you think could be right there. Or is it the Athletics? Could the Rays make a run? What do you think?
I think it's gotta be Oakland at this point. You've got power bat Matt Olson, having a good season. And I think their division, their schedule that plays a little bit to their favor. I think if someone else is going to make a run from the American League, it's certainly not anybody from the Central. I'd say it's got to be the Oakland Athletics. It's not the Mariners.
Yeah, I agree. But a potential, you know, depending on how these rotations shake out towards the end of the year, a potential wild card game at Yankee Stadium between Severino and Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, Felix Hernandez, or they might throw James Paxton at him.
That is true.
I'll tell you as a fan, that's not a game I want to be in.
No, I agree with you 100%.
You know, baseball, anything can happen in one pitch and in a one game ordeal. You never know.
How do you feel about the wild card game?
I used to like the old style much more. But then again, you know, it's a one game. The excitement's at an all time high. I think you really got to get the best out of your players for it. So it adds a bit of an excitement factor, but
you know. I'm not a fan of it really at all. Here's why. Just because, you know, you play so many games and you have 162 games, that is a grueling and long and sometimes feels in never ending schedule if you're on those rosters. With that being said, there's just too much riding on one afternoon. So before I give you what I would maybe do, if you were in charge, hypothetically, of changing the baseball play, they said you can't keep it the same. You've got to change the baseball playoff format. What do you think you would do?
I think the wild card game is what I'd change. Just as you were saying, I'm not a fan of it either. Maybe a best of three. Just to keep things short, maybe the first wild card team could get two of the three games. Then again, for a Seattle New York series, granted that'd be some traveling back and forth, but I think, like you said, 162 games, it seems like quite a bit for it all to come down to one game, you know.
Yep. Yeah, and that's one of my ideas, is I would make it possibly best of three, or maybe do it like the NFL and go six versus three, get three wild cards in there and play six versus three, five versus four, and have those be best of three, and then hop into the best of five in the divisional.
Yeah, that would be cool. Another team headed to technically the playoffs as a third wild card. It's not a bad theory.
I think too, because, like, you know, in baseball, we see baseball by far, amongst the major North American sports, you know, by far the lowest percentage out of its boasting list of organizations make the playoffs as a reward at the end of the year, with only 10, used to be eight. So maybe getting 12 in there would, it can't hurt revenue. My question with it would be though, scheduling.
Right.
Cause you're dipping into October and the World Series would be like in early November at that point.
Yeah.
Could be some snow. You never know. So, all right. So, give me a kind of scope now that we've talked about the American League. Give me your thoughts on the potential playoff picture with what we have and who you might think, could come out of that league.
Well, I think the American League's looking at a three-team race. Granted, something drastic happens. The Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees. Actually, the Houston Astros. I will say, for as disappointing as I think Cleveland only being nine games above 500, how many did they win in a row last year? 22 games or something?
Something like that. I think 21 or 22.
21 or 22 games. They were one of the favorites going into the playoffs. Maybe this is the year where they get overlooked a bit. I mean, they're going to make it out of the Central. Maybe this is the year that they get hot at the right time. So I'm not going to count Cleveland out by any means.
Yeah, and I would imagine they would end up having to play Houston in that first round. That's a series I think a lot of fans wanted to see last year before the Yankees upset the Indians. So that would be a series I think would be awesome. I mean, really, you can't go wrong with any potential series in the American League. I think the American League is stacked.
I do too.
So it really, dude, it could be anything, man. I have firmly said it all year. I think that the American League, how would that go? The Yankees, if they win the wild card game and the Red Sox end up being the best team in the American League, would they have to play in the divisional series?
No, I think they would catch probably Houston, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, because I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I the only reason I'm saying that is because I think that I know it used to be a rule, but I think it might still be a rule that teams in the same division can't play in the first round.
Yeah. I'm not sure who we would fare against.
I like your guys' chance. I like the Yankees' chances against Houston, though.
I do too. I think our record against them this year is pretty good as well. I know we swept them not too long ago.
Record against the Red Sox is pretty good too. David Price is on the mound. You might as well cash those bets.
That's right,
man. All right, so moving on to the National League. The National League has been interesting, to say the least. Starting with the National League East, my preseason prediction to win the World Series, and we'll touch more on the Nationals here in a little bit, but, you know, the talk, unfortunately, of that division might not be the surging Phillies and the Braves. It might just be the woeful and disappointing Washington Nationals.
I agree with that. I think that everyone thought they would be the favorite in that division. Granted, both rosters of the Atlanta Braves and the Phillies have improved over the last few years. I don't think anyone still saw this coming.
No. There's no way that I did, but here is also what I find interesting. They're getting arguably in our awards, in our All-Star Break awards that Connor Maloney and I are going to hand out, these very prestigious and pivotal awards. Three of mine actually, are all Nationals players. Mm-hmm. And for them to be at 500, I mean, are we kind of still waiting for them to kick it into gear? Or do you think that we might have seen maybe the best of what Washington has to offer?
You know, the All-Star break, there's two halves to the season for a reason. I think they could very easily find themselves getting better in the second half. I mean, with a roster that includes Bryce Harper and guys like Anthony Rendon and Trey Turner, Daniel Murphy, they've got players that have proven themselves in the league before. I think it's got to be only a matter of time, right?
You know, I mean, you think, like, the Dodgers were kind of in the same position earlier this season, and they got it going. But I'm glad you brought up Bryce Harper. Has he been playing his way out of that $400 million deal?
You know, he just might. But with a guy of his talent, you know, you expect that any day he'll flip the switch. So,
man, he's batting .214.
Yeah, that's not what they signed up for. I know that much.
At all.
But
at all. His career batting average is .277. That's just well below par.
Yeah. And I mean, they got Strasburg on the DL right now, as well as Ryan Zimmerman and Howie Kendrick. But I still think with the emergence of the young Juan Soto and those other guys that they have, I think they'd be the first to tell you they should be playing better ball.
I agree with you 100%. And since we are on the topic in this division, who has maybe – okay, here's this question. Whose surge and rise into the top of this division surprised you more, Atlanta or Philly?
To me, it's Atlanta. When you have Nick Markakis batting .324.
Right.
I mean, they'll take that every day of the year, of course.
Oh, my God.
But, no, they've got Ronald Acuna, the young player, and Ozzie Albies. Freddie Freeman, of course, has been good for many, many years now. And they really seem to have put it together a little bit more than we would have expected. So that's the surprise to me.
Bats are on fire, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Nick Markakis, that shit is out of control.
It really is. I don't think anyone predicted he'd be competing for the batting average title in the National League this year.
No. Give me here. I'm pulling up because I know Nick Markakis has never been the guy to hit for average.
Yeah, he in his career is 13 years. He's batting .289 career.
I'm trying to see. I mean, it's not terrible.
No, it's not at all.
Not at all, looking at this.
But after last year, he was only .275 and .269 the year before. It's for him to jump, you know, 30 to 60 points, it's incredible.
Yeah, he has been a very pleasant surprise, and another guy I know that you've been very appreciative of
as absolutely
far as swinging the bat is Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, Freeman and Markakis at that and that 3-4 hole in Atlanta. It's the reason that they are where they are. They hit the ball and they score a lot of runs.
And as for the bottom of this division, obviously the talk around this month and the trade deadline coming up is going to be around guys like Jake DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard over there at Citi Field. But if we could, how do you gauge what you have noticed so far with the rebuilding process that's going on down in Derek Jeter land in Miami?
You know, being a Jeter guy, I have faith in him. I think Miami is going to take the time to rebuild that it needs to take. Giancarlo Stanton wanted to get out because he wanted to be on a winning team. Guys like Christian Yelich and D. Gordon also were dealt away. I think it's something that they'll say is going to be a process. You know, it's going to take a few years for them to be playing competitive baseball again.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're embracing the rebuilding process, but
absolutely. You know.
So we got a juicy division to get into now. But before we do that, real quick, give me a prediction of who you think is going to come out on top in that National League East.
Ah, man, that's tough.
It's tough.
It's real tough. I'm gonna go ahead and say the Nationals come back and win the division.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna say they get it together in the second half. Max Scherzer continues to dominate. Maybe they get a fire lit underneath them. I think they're gonna come back and win the division.
I'm going to go with Atlanta, but I think Washington will sneak in and get a wild card.
Gotcha. So the Phillies just drop off for you then?
I do think so. I think that Philly looks like they might be about a year away. Odubel Herrera looks fantastic.
Yeah.
The kid they got in left, Rice Hoskins, looks great. But I do believe with this young core that they have that they are just about a year away from being able to sustain success over the season.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
And with veterans like Arrieta on that pitching staff, you know, anything's possible.
Right.
So a juicy division we got now, the National League Central. Brewers playing great ball, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. They added Christian Yelich this year. Nice player. Swing from the left side of the stick. Does a lot. Lorenzo Cain as well from Kansas City. Those guys are good ball players. So, and they're producing out there in Milwaukee.
How about Aguilar, too?
Jesus Aguilar has had a great season.
I think he leads the National League in home runs, if I'm not mistaken.
He sure does.
I thought that he was definitely going to be a snub from the All-Star game if he didn't get that final vote.
Yeah, that's no doubt about that. He's had a great season, and that's that. You know, he's always been a left-handed specialist, hits left-handed pitching really well, but this year he's hitting well against righties as well, so he's put together a good, strong first half.
I agree with you as well. And a couple of teams that I think aren't going to be showing any signs of life as far as making any type of playoff push are the Pirates and the Reds. But how do you feel maybe about the team sitting right there in third and the St. Louis Cardinals potentially gauging something to come back in the second half?
You know, they have a good roster. I just don't see it. Matt Carpenter, guys like Marcell Ozuna, those guys can hit. They can play well. But the starting pitching, I mean, Carlos Martinez is their ace. I don't think they have quite enough to come around in that division when you have teams like the Cubs and Brewers ahead of them.
Yeah. Let me just say to you real quick update. I've got the Red Sox game on my TV right now, and Martinez just hit his 29th bomb.
Wow. Takes back sole possession ahead of Jose Ramirez in first place.
Dude, this guy has been tremendous.
Yeah, I had to think long and hard about my AL awards when it comes to him.
I mean, that's a three-horse race, and yeah. we'll get into that. But that was a difficult one for me as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough to imagine. The National League wild card race might be the most fun race we're going to have. Because, you know, you got the whoever is not the beneficiary out of Philly, and Atlanta and possibly Washington sneaking up in there. St. Louis is in there. You have three teams potentially from the National League West in there, with Arizona, Colorado, San Francisco. I mean, who, L.A. too, possibly.
It's, yeah.
That is a potential race, and we'll talk. We'll dive all into that in due time. But speaking of that National League West, there is not more of a jumbled division with, you know, in the American League, you have Houston and Seattle kind of keeping the pace. But, dude, the National League West is pretty jumbled.
Yeah, you've got four teams all within three games.
I have a buddy of mine who is a Colorado Rockies fan that I saw at a wedding last week, and he is he's convinced with their schedule, the setup, that the way it is, that they'll be able to come out on top of that division. Obviously, you talk to a biased fan of any nature, they'd tell you their team is convincible to win their own division. Yeah. However, he did make a solid point to me. They have a lot of games left with Arizona, and they have played well against Arizona.
Is that right?
Yeah, and, you know, the ball flies out of that park in Colorado.
Sure does. Yeah, they beat Arizona in the wild card game last year, did they not?
Yep.
Right. The Rockies, I mean, look, you've got Nolan Arenado and Charlie Blackman, young player, and Trevor Story. They've got some power, and like you said, the ball flies out. They've won 8 out of their last 10 games heading into the break here. I could easily see Colorado playing well. But Arizona is no slouch. They've got a good team.
Colorado usually also struggles on the road, but they're 28-22 away from home this year. Two games under 500 at Coors Field.
Huh. Yeah, I think that might just speak into a little bit of their pitching. They've given up more runs than they've scored this year, and that says something when you have a team that scores a lot of runs.
So on the opposite side of that spectrum, the Giants are 14 games above 500 at home this year, and they're 10 games below when they hit the road. Also, a minus 21 run differential. I've got to imagine, just if I'm making my prediction, a team that if I had to cross off right now from winning that division is going to be San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't think they have enough either in the pitching department. Madison Bumgarner's a proven guy, but who comes next? Jeff Samardzija, he's been no good. So I don't think they have it in him either.
All right. So now give me your prediction of who's going to come out on top of that division. Will the Dodgers be able to do it?
Yeah, I got the Dodgers winning that division. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree that on the part that they will make the playoffs. However, I'm going to go with Arizona, shock the world.
Gotcha. Okay.
Luvalo, man, he's a great manager. He's done a good job.
Oh, he's been fantastic.
Now give me your two National League wildcard teams. This is almost an impossible thing to select. given who you got coming out of each of it, you got Washington, Milwaukee, and LA.
Right. Yep.
The Cubs got to be one of those teams. Aren't they?
I'm gonna say the Cubs win their division.
Oh, really? You have the Cubs win the Central?
Yeah, I think the Cubs are going to win the Central, and I think the Brewers will take the first wild card. I think their race with the Cubs in the Central is going to come down to the wire.
I agree.
So I think the Cubs will sneak it out.
Yep, me too.
Brewers take the first wild card, and after that, you said you had Arizona winning the division. I'll say Arizona takes the second wild card.
Hulk. Wow. I have with my division winners, Atlanta. I have Atlanta, Chicago, and Arizona. My two wild card teams are going to be the Dodgers are going to get one of them. The other one's tough. Probably Milwaukee.
Yeah. So.
Gotcha. All right. So it's time for Davidson Baker and Connor Maloney's prestigious and world-renowned All-Star Break Awards.
Let's do it.
Let's start off in the American League. My MVP is one of two guys that are on the same team that I think fit this three-horse race, but the third horse in that race is your MVP. Go ahead and let us know who that is.
I've got Mike Trout. When you look, his wins above replacement is 6.9. He's got a 6.9 wins above replacement that leads all players in the major leagues.
Yep.
Fantastic defender. He can steal second base. He can hit for power. A guy that can do it all. That's, you know.
Yeah. Really comes down to either Trout, Mookie Betts, or JD Martinez at this point. Mookie Betts, to me, has been the guy that might don the – oh, what's the word I'm looking for? He might don the glow of what I believe fits the most valuable pen.
Yeah.
359 as for his batting average with 23 homers and 51 ribbies.
Yeah, that guy is incredible. There's no denying. I would say him and Martinez is as good of a 1-2 punch as any team in the league.
Yeah, so we got Mookie Betts from me and Mike Trout from you. And as we mentioned earlier, the most difficult award for me to pick was the Cy Young Award. You could have Kluber, you could have Bauer, you could have who I chose, but go ahead and or you could easily select who you have. Go ahead and let us know who your first half Cy Young Award winner is.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's Luis Severino from the New York Yankees. He's got 14 wins on the year. His ERA is far under 3 at 2.3. He's had a great season. Granted, he plays on a good team. He gets a lot of help in the run department. But, I mean, before the night in Cleveland, which he got the no decision on, he won his previous 7 out of 8 starts. So he's had a fantastic year, and I think he is your AL Cy Young winner.
And mine is Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, I believe, leads the American League in strikeouts and ERA. You know, God forbid, though, if they don't give it to him, watch out for a Kate Upton tweet. She's that fire, bro.
Yeah, she might have something to say, huh?
Yes, sir. So we have unanimous selections in our Rookie of the Year and Manager of the Year. Rookie of the Year has got to be no doubt your boy, Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 21-year-old.
He's a stud.
Absolute stud out of Venezuela. Batting about 300, 15 home runs, 42 RBIs.
That'd be about expected, though, wouldn't you say? I expected the kid to come in and make an immediate elite-level contribution.
Absolutely. I was saying before the season that I couldn't wait till we called him up. It was one of those things. I figured he would get the call up before the season was over, and indeed that was the case. I mean, the guy does it all. He can pull the ball. He can hit it the other way. And we all know that at Yankee Stadium, if you can hit the ball the other way as a righty, that's got to be good.
Absolutely. With that short porch in right field, it is a pleasure to do so.
Yep.
So let's dive into Manager of the Year. I think there are a couple people that could be deserving of this. Especially like rookie managers like Alex Cora or Aaron Boone, but I think both of us agree that Seattle Mariners manager Scott Servais is deserving.
Yeah, he's deserving. Like I said earlier, Robinson Cano being on the DL or suspended, I mean.
Yep.
Not the
DL. A little bit of tainted tacos.
Yeah. The job he's done to keep his team competitive in that division when you play the Houston Astros several times a year, that's got to be noticed.
Definitely, and that division is probably the deepest in the American League, so he has the toughest, you know, day-by-day grind out of possibly anybody, you know,
right
in that league.
And as we said, the run differential only being 2 runs up, it's got to come down to managing feel for the game, you know.
100%, I agree with you. Yeah, it really does. It really is a large credit to Scott Servais when you are 21 games above 500 and you've only outscored your opponents by a combined 2 runs.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to the National League. Most valuable player from Mr. Maloney, we have Atlanta first baseman Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, Freeman has had a great season. He's batting 315, 16 home runs. I think if the Atlanta Braves do make a run down the stretch, like you think, with credit to him and Nick Markakis, I think it could be a surprising pick, but I think Freddie Freeman could be on watch for the MVP award.
There are multiple guys that could be on the watch for the MVP award in the National League. You know, I think Matt Kemp could even play his way into that conversation.
Absolutely.
Given the bat that he's had. Nolan Arenado, possibly, too. Maybe a guy like Jesus Aguilar.
Right.
However, to me, the most valuable commodity amongst any roster in that National League is Max Scherzer. He's also my Cy Young Award winner. And is he or is he not yours?
Yeah, he's mine as well. Absolutely. He's been dominant.
The strikeout. I mean, dude, his sometimes the filth that he throws is just it is a sight to behold.
Yeah, he's been doing it for years and he hasn't had any decline. 12 wins, ERA of 2.4. He's someone you can count on when you put him on the mound.
Dude, he is so fun to watch pitch. And the number that jumps off the page to me, if it will pull up here, why is it so difficult to see how many Ks the guy has?
Oh, I got it for you. He's got 182 strikeouts.
Jeez, man. Oh, okay. It's because it doesn't say K. It says S-O.
Right.
Yeah, that threw me off. 182 strikeouts so far. His career high is 284.
Oof.
Wow. That's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, that's what he does. Strikes people out.
So our rookie of the year is also unanimous in the National League. This kid, Juan Soto, behind the plate over in our nation's capital, has looked tremendous.
Yeah, he's batting over 300. I will say I watched the game against the New York Yankees. He had two home runs, and his second one was off a lefty. Broke the tie in, I think, the seventh inning. But, man, he hit it all the way out to the bullpens, over the fans. It was a moonshot. I think that took the whole world by notice.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Manager of the Year could go out to multiple guys, I think. And I think both guys that we ended up giving it to is deserving. You like Lavallo from Arizona.
Yeah, I mean – Jake Lamb was on the DL early in the year, and Paul Goldschmidt had a stretch where he was really struggling to hit the ball, and the Arizona Diamondbacks are still a half game out of first place in their division. I think the man's done a tremendous job, and I think people really need to give him some credit for it.
I agree with you. I've got to go with Gabe Kapler over there in Philly, and you could literally give it – you could give it to multiple different – you really could. I think one guy that could also potentially be in the running amongst like this very it's tough, man. Like,
yeah.
You could give it to Lavallo. You could give it to Don Mattingly even for like, you know, Los Angeles weathering the storm that they did at the beginning of the year, especially with how the Yu Darvish pickup has not worked out
completely.
But Brian Snicker over down in Atlanta could also be a guy that could end up taking it home.
Yeah, he sure could. I agree with what you have to say there. Absolutely.
So we are just about done here. Man, I love when baseball comes down to the wire. It's the ratings are going back up. I think the youth in baseball is as good as it's ever been. So with the state that it is in right now, it the popularity is growing. Where do you see, you know, the general consensus of the popularity of America's pastime going for in the immediate future?
You know, I think it's going to stay pretty level. I think it's fairly popular. You know, they're doing every effort they can to speed up the games these days with the with the mound visits and the pitch clock and all that other stuff. But I think there's reason for excitement. You know, guys like Gleyber Torres is 21. Juan Soto is 19 years old. This is just a preview of things that could come.
Yeah, and if you had to choose, however, a problem that is continuing to plague baseball, what would that problem be? Would it be the speed of the game?
You know, I'm gonna say that it's the wild card game.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I
don't like it either.
I don't like it. You know, like we mentioned, the 162 games comes down to one. You know, it seems a bit. You know, a bit much, but I think that's one thing that That is a problem.
So before we wrap it up here, we are going to reel off biggest surprises, biggest disappointment, and boldest predictions in both the AL and NL. Starting with the, you want to go, we'll just go American League all the way down and then National League all the way down?
That works for me.
All right, so starting in the American League, the biggest surprise for me this year has been the overly competitive American League West. I don't think anyone saw all four of these teams, maybe obviously Houston, but I don't think anyone saw the four teams that are above 500 right now all being in the order that they are. You know, with Ohtani giving off as much hype and potential that he showed, he's been out for quite some time.
Right.
You know, and Oakland has looked good, and Seattle's been surprising, and, you know, that's my biggest surprise is the overcompetitive American League West, the American League. And how about yours, my friend?
I've got two players on the radar. First, we'll start with the Yankees' third baseman, Miguel Andujar. He's had a fantastic season. He's batting .283. Just a guy you can count on for a base hit. You know, he hits for average, and he's been a big surprise to me. But more importantly, a guy also from that division who pitches for the Tampa Bay Rays. I can't believe this guy is not an all-star, by the way.
Me too.
Blake Snell, left-handed thrower. His wins above replacement over four for a team like the Tampa Bay Rays. He's 12-5 with an ERA just over two. I mean, like yeah. I said, he plays for the Tampa Bay Rays. That right there should jump out at you. He's had a fantastic season. And I fully agree with his teammate, Chris Archer. There's no doubt in my mind this man should have been an all-star this year.
I agree 100%. I think he should have too. Biggest disappointment for me, I'm going to stick with the divisional topic. It's got to be the American League Central. You know, you got four teams really playing very lowly. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody expected teams like the Tigers or the White Sox to be good. But two things I know for a fact is I didn't think anyone expected to be the Twins not looking as competitive. And I don't think anyone expected the Royals to be 40 games below 500 at the All-Star break.
Right. This, like you said, this is the worst division in baseball.
By far.
By far.
Yeah.
So.
And now how about your biggest disappointment in the American League?
Yeah. We'll stay in the Central. I'll say the Cleveland Indians. Their schedule, they play all those divisional foes so many times. For them to only be 9 games above 500 at the break, I think is kind of sluggish from them. But there's reason for optimism there. I think they need to just add a few arms in the bullpen, and they can be a team that can make noise. But right now, I'd say I'm disappointed in them.
Yeah, I definitely don't think they're playing up to potential. However, in that division, you know, kind of anything goes.
Yeah, and then the Baltimore Orioles like I said, I didn't expect them to win the division or anything like that. But when you have guys like Adam Jones, Mark Trumbo, Chris Davis, Jonathan Scope,
yep,
there's not an excuse really for being that horrendous. But
so my boldest prediction this season, I don't see the Red Sox and Yankees being separated by more than 4 games on either side of the table.
Yeah, I can see that being the case. That's, you know.
And give me your boldest prediction for what you think is going to happen towards the end of the season.
My boldest in the American League.
Yep.
My boldest prediction is like we talked about, the Seattle Mariners. I think they're going to give Houston all they can handle down the stretch. I think that division is going to be closer than a lot of people would think.
Could be, and I think it would. It'd give the Astros that jolt they might need to go into the playoffs. So now moving on to the National League, we kind of have the same situation with my biggest surprise being all of the hot bats coming out of Atlanta. But as we've already spoke about already, Nick Markakis hitting .324 it has been the most surprising thing to you in the National League this year, has it not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree as well. And we are also in the two of us are in agreement on our biggest disappointment. It's got to be the Nationals. What do you think?
Yeah, like we said, with the kind of roster and talent they have, Bryce Harper just batting over 200. I think that the Washington Nationals have a little bit of a team meeting that needs to take place at the All-Star break.
Oh, they did have one after they got swept by the Red Sox.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I saw that. They had an all players only meeting because they were like, at that point, they were like, I think 5-19 in the last 24.
Wow.
It was 5-18 in the last 23. It was somewhere in that ballpark. But yeah, that's not going to get it done.
No, and you got to think Max Scherzer pitches every couple games too. So it's like, you know,
it's not good.
It's unacceptable.
I agree. Now, for the boldest prediction for me in the National League, I don't think we're going to see any repeat division winners from last season. I believe I have Atlanta coming out of the NL East.
Yep.
And then that's actually false because the Cubs were the NL Central, won the NL Central last season. Is that correct?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so other than the Cubs, I don't think that we'll see repeat winners in the East or the West. In the West, we have the Dodgers possibly laying stake, but you know, I'm going to go ahead and go with the D-backs.
Yeah, like we said, the manager's done a tremendous job. They've got Paul Goldschmidt, who's a great player, and Jake Lamb and other guys as well. So I think they could win the division.
And sticking in that division, I think your biggest surprise comes out of it. And speaking of those Dodgers, what do you think might be going on with them towards the end of that year?
Yeah, my prediction is that they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Who do you see that possibly being against?
Well, let's see. I think it could be maybe the Brewers. It could be maybe the Braves. It could be maybe the Nationals, you know. I just think that maybe, you know, this is the year that they don't have it put together enough.
Could be, man. Well, thanks for coming on, dude. I've had a blast doing this.
Oh, this has been great. Thanks for having me.
It's good to talk centrally about baseball too. You know, with now the NBA taking a back seat with the finals ending and free agency being over and, you know, football's on the radar, and can't wait.
Yeah, that's right. Baseball is in full swing, though, so that's where our eyes are at.
Yeah, the dog days of August are right around the corner, and then we should have pennant races right after that.
Can't wait for it.
So, all right, man. Well, thank you very much for coming on. It's been fun, dude. And excuse me, I'm not going to give anything away, but Mr. Maloney will be back. I've got a really cool idea that I think is going to be awesome.
Yeah, we will see.
Yes, we will. And when that due time comes, those listening will find out about it. And if you are listening, thanks again. And if you are listening once more, this is thank you to a credit over at the good guys over at BetMMA.tips. And I will be back on Monday with Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series contestant Max Moustaki. And until then, I will see you then.